I'm a grateful alcoholic. My name is George. As we did each week, I'm going to go read the long form of the tradition we finished, go over it a little bit, and then jump into the tradition we are in this week. We're going to read the long form of Tradition 9, which is probably the longest form of the long form we have of any of the traditions. Each AA group needs the least possible organization. Rotating leadership is best. The small group may elect its secretary, the large group its rotating committee, the groups of a large metropolitan area their central or intergroup committee, which often employs a full-time secretary. The trustees of General Service Board are in effect our AA General Service Committee. They are the custodians of AA traditions and the receivers of voluntary AA contributions by which we maintain our AA group service office at New York. They are authorized by the groups to handle our overall public relations and will guarantee the integrity of our principal newspaper, the AA Grapevine. All such representatives are to be guided by the spirit of service, for true leaders in AA are but trusted and experienced servants of the whole. They derive no real authority from their titles. They do not govern. Universal respect is the key to their usefulness. If I had to read that when I came in here, I'd be more confused than anything else. The ninth tradition, in its short form, is pretty simple. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committee directly responsible to those they serve. And we talked about this last week, about all the different kinds of committees and what a servant is and what a servant isn't. And the best any of us will ever be in Alcoholics Anonymous is a productive member. As a member, that's the best we ever get. If we don't drink, we're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a lot of people in this room today, a lot of people that woke up sober. We have no opinion on this. Alcoholics Anonymous definitely has no opinion. We can never really get a true membership account because a lot of people tonight, when they wake up tomorrow, will not be members of Alcoholics Anonymous because they decided to drink. We can never figure that statistic out on a daily basis. That's the sad part. In Tradition 9, the words, "Let's keep it simple," were the last Bill heard from his founder and shortly before Dr. Bob's death in 1950. That's one of the most misquoted statements that I hear in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think most of us do. If you read what Dr. Bob said, he said, "Let's not screw this up with Freudian complexities and keep it simple." And what he was talking about was not the steps. The steps were simple. It was the rest of it. It was the organization. It's really the ninth tradition. Aware of it, he meant the recovery program. Bill later wrote, "We need to distinguish simply between spiritual simplicity and functional simplicity. When we get into the questions of the action by groups, by areas, and by A as a whole, we find we must, to some extent, organize to carry the message or else face chaos. And chaos, by no means, is simple." And, you know, if we were all chaotic and all wanted to do everything our own way, there is no simplicity. There would be no structure to a meeting. It would be complete fist fights, and that's pretty much the way it was when we started. That's the way AA started. And out of the hard won, they talk about the anvils of time, the hard knocks that took over the anvils of time. We talk about the second tradition, loving God as he expresses himself. This is where 9 and 2 meet really strongly because there is a loving God, and our leaders are but trusted servants. They don't govern. There is no government here. And if you look at it from the outside and compare it to other businesses, our structure is chaotic, to say the least. When Tradition 9 speaks of AA as such, it goes to the heart of AA experience, to the spiritual simplicity of one alcoholic silently perhaps saying, "Help." Another alcoholic answering, "I know how you feel. We're here to help." Such as the relationship couldn't be organized, or could it? A non-member familiar with the modern business procedures may examine AA's practice of sponsorship and see the haphazard operation. I think sponsorship is a very haphazard operation because I don't think any two individuals are the same. We may lay out the work the same as sponsors, but each individual does it in a different pace, a different way, with a different flavor, and we kind of learn each from each other, and it is kind of haphazard. There is no set formula, because if there was a set formula, I think a book could be written and none of us would be sitting here. I mean, it is the language of the heart. And that's something I don't think that you can put into a format that works A to B to C. It's just the language of the heart. It's one alcoholic feeling another person's pain and being able to share their experience and how to get through that pain. It says, how about computerizing it? They're talking about sponsorship. When AA behind an intergroup desk might say, so you want her, first we need the right sponsor. We have a personality profile of a sponsor to fit your needs right here in the computer. We'll match you up with the best one for you if you just fill out this questionnaire. Where are you going? If I had to answer a questionnaire when I came in here to see who would be my fit for the things I did and the shame that I carried, I'd be out the door. I wouldn't have stayed. I wouldn't want somebody to try and know that would match up to me because I was scared to death that I was going to be judged by the people in this room. And thank God I wasn't. You would attempt to organize A as such. Please don't get any ideas. It's just what the literature says. But the action by the groups, we find that we need some degree of organization. If everybody thinks somebody else is going to make the coffee, what's the result? There's no coffee usually. You know, we do ask people to step up and do service. There is a responsibility that we take on. And some of them is very simple responsibility. Greeters, chair people, speakers. The responsibility varies from group to group, from area to area, the way the meetings are held and the way that, you know, we do things. In this group, there are coffee makers, they're cleanup people, they're setup people, and they're breakdown people. A lot of groups, you know, have rooms where you just walk in between, depending on the size of where the location is. So that affects some of the service that we do. To avoid the disaster, one or more members are to be responsible for preparing the meeting refreshments, all the way from the coffee to the trusted general service boy. Those who take part in AA service work are assuming responsibility, not taking authority. Here, traditions 2 and 9 interlock. Groups offers responsibility to its members, to the group, into group committees, area committees, and all groups in their areas, conference delegates and committees, to the groups of the U.S. and Canada, to the General Service Board, and the board's committees, to all groups and members everywhere. In an average business corporation, the board has the final power to determine company plans and policy. Our board of trustees serves in a custodial capacity only. Trustees vote at the conference, but as individuals, there is only one vote apiece, offering suggestion based on the experiences reported by the groups. The individual of the group carries the message, not the elected officials that go and do the service work. As much as the chaos is in a service meeting, if you ever go to a GSR meeting or if you go to an intergroup meeting, it's a whole different flavor than a home group meeting. But the home group, if I'm the individual, gives the message to those representatives to bring it to their area, to bring it up, and then after it goes up, it comes back down to the individuals in the groups to vote on it. And then it becomes approved or disapproved as part of a function of AA. If you want to know, one of the longest things that take to function is try and see one of these pamphlets come into effect. They take years up and back between changes and color and does it look right? Is it the right texture? Is it covering the responsibility for women? There was one that they talk about the black pamphlet for the black people, where the color of the people weren't right. First it was too dark, then they looked like Spanish, then it was too light, and they went back and forth for 2 years until they agreed on the color that the pamphlet should be. And then there was, the women were missing, so they wrote the pamphlet about Alice, which was a newer pamphlet for the women. So, you know, it takes years for these things from start to finish to come to fruition. Okay. And yet, by small degree of organization, it miraculously does work. One reason by that tradition applies to each AA committee, the board is directly, as it does to each AA group, by this one primary purpose in all our activities, and that's to help the alcoholic who is still suffering at every level. The fellowship retains spiritual simplicity. To diffuse that purpose, to embroil AA in issues apart from their true concern would create dangerous complications. And that's really a key that's going to lead into the next tradition about diverting from that singleness of purpose. The questions we can ask ourselves according to the checklist, and this is one, that what I just read was out of the the 12 traditions illustrated. I was published in 1971. Computers weren't very big in 1971, but there was enough foresight in the rewriting of that to know that that was coming. And if we look at the beginning, and I always refer back to the beginning of the fourth edition, it says face-to-face or modem-to-modem. Didn't say that in the first three editions, because computers weren't there yet. Tradition 9, such ought never be organized, but we create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Do I still try to be a boss in AA? There's the questions to ask yourself. Do I resist formal aspects of AA because I fear them as authoritative? Am I mature enough to understand and use all the elements of the AA program, and even if no one makes me do so, that with a sense of personal responsibility? I don't do a lot of stuff in the concepts. I do know them. I was involved in that part of service. When I got here, I had a service sponsor. I just don't enjoy that kind of service work. But I do have to practice those 12 principles that apply to those concepts, as well as the 12 to apply to traditions and steps. Now, that's 36 principles I have to try to live by, and most of us only live by 12. I don't do the service structure very well. There's people that love that. And to me, it's just too chaotic. Do I exercise patience and humility in any job of AA I take? Am I aware of those whom I am responsible in any AA job? Why doesn't every AA group need a constitution and bylaws? Have I learned to step out of AA job graciously and profit thereby when the time comes? Spirit of the rotation of the second tradition, a very big one. What does rotation do with anonymity and with humility? Now, if I can answer those questions, if I'm practicing those principles in my life to the utmost, then those are really strong questions. And not only do they work for the group, they work in my personal relationships. And that's pretty much what the traditions have taught me, that they are as good for me as an individual with other relationships as they are with my relationship with each group I'm at. Tradition 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, we don't drag AA into public controversy. There's two ways I look at this, and this is the way I look at it. And I'm making this clarification because I have experience with being drawn into controversy within AA. Opinions in Alcoholics Anonymous keep sick people sick, and they often have the ability to kill people. I came in 1994, and when I came in here, I was at a meeting, and in that big book, I didn't know where it was at the time, and I was at a meeting, and medications came up, and there's a whole bunch of pamphlets about it, a whole lot of different theories on it. A lot of people inside Alcoholics Anonymous have opinion on what you should take and what you shouldn't take. There's a lot of doctors in here, but none of us are physicians, and if there's a physician sitting in the room, he shouldn't be practicing his practice in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I learned that the hard way. I went into a meeting, and there was a guy who spoke because I was taking an antidepressant. He said, if you're taking that, you're not sober. And trying to be a good AA at the beginning, not knowing what I should or shouldn't do, I stopped taking my medication, and 3 days later, in a room up the road from here, I had a seizure. Because of that seizure, I went to the man who carried the message to me, Bob Welsh. He said to me, what does the big book say? I said, I don't know what the big book says. I was sober maybe a month and a half at the time. And he said, well, you know, in the big book, it does tell us what to do in the medical profession. We're not doctors here. We're not bankers here. And he said, read the part in the book, and it says the good doctor and good psychiatrist are there for us to use. Their services are indispensable in helping the newcomer. And I'm very grateful that I read that, because when next time somebody told me what I should be taking or what I shouldn't be taking, I went to my sponsor and said, what do I say? He says, you tell him he's not a doctor in AA and to keep his opinion to himself. And it took me a long time to stand up to that, because I was too afraid to stand up for what was right and wrong in my life. I'm not telling anybody what to do with medication or what not to do, because I'm not a doctor. I have no opinion on that. And Alcoholics Anonymous definitely has no opinion on that. So when we get to Tradition 10, we end up in a whole lot of controversy within AA. We're not bankers. I came in here. They told me we're not bankers. We're not doctors. We're not lawyers. If you need those things, you go to those professionals outside of the rooms. We're here to teach you how not to drink in a 24-hour basis so you can stay sober. Now you get to the 10th tradition, and what is an outside controversy? And why is this tradition in place? Well, you got to go back to the Washingtonians. The Washingtonians were key in this. The Washingtonians, and it talks about the Washingtonians, society is a movement among alcoholics started in Baltimore 100 years ago, almost discovered the answer to alcoholism. The first of the society was composed entirely of alcoholics trying to help one another. The early members foresaw that they should dedicate themselves to their sole aim. In many respects, the Washingtonians were akin to AA. Their membership passed the 500,000 mark. Had they stuck to their one goal, they might have found the full answer. Instead, the Washingtonians permitted politicians and reformers, both alcoholic and not, to use the society for their own purposes. Abolishment of slavery, for example, was a stormy political issue at the time. Soon the Washingtonian speakers violently and publicly took sides on these questions. Maybe the society could have survived the abolition controversy, but it did not have a chance from the moment it determined the reform of America's drinking habits. Some of the Washingtonians became temperance crusaders. Within a very few years, they had completely lost their effectiveness in helping alcoholics, and the society collapsed. So one of the reasons that Bill was very smart and learned the failures of the fellowships that came before us, and he saw that if we followed the same route as the Washingtonians, it wouldn't be long before we go by the wayside. There's a great pamphlet because, I came in here, I was an alcoholic and an addict. Because that's what I was told when I left treatment. I didn't know better. And there's a pamphlet with written called Problems Other Than Alcohol. It's a wonderful pamphlet. It talks about the person who has a heroin addiction and is an alcoholic and how he, a lot of us. I don't think I'm a pure alcoholic by any sense of the means of that. And it talks about why we keep our singleness of purpose, why we talk about alcohol. Because if we divert from that and start talking about all the other, and there's, over 312 step fellowships I've heard of as of now. If I start getting into those other fellowships and diverting from our singleness of purpose, we water down the message of one alcoholic helping another. I always often think about the inside controversy because more than the outside controversy, because I believe if we're going to be torn apart, we're going to be torn apart from the inside. I don't think we're going to be torn apart from the outside. There was a meeting I was at not too long ago, and I use that as an example. A man was having a shopping problem, brought it to an AA meeting. And to me, when I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, it's about staying sober. Those other addictions are going to come up, and I have ways of dealing with it, but the 12 steps that are behind me are the way I deal with it. And I got a sponsor for that. I don't bring that into an AA meeting. I don't bring in my codependency issues or my children issues. I will talk to individuals and maybe bring it up in a meeting about the solution I found through the people in here who've walked that path, and that's that language of the heart. But I don't bring it up in an AA meeting to make it a controversial thing. Although, if you know any of us, our big book says, we're controversial by nature. I like controversy. So, if I have my way and somebody says black, I'm going to want to say white. And that did not come to us because of any virtue of ours. That came to us because we knew there was a better way. It talks about a lot about, let me get to it. It thinks the future of Alcoholics Anonymous greatly depends upon Tradition 10's principles of no controversy at the public level. The tradition reads as follows. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name would never be joined into public controversy. One of the biggest controversies we have in Alcoholics Anonymous that I hear on a constant basis is religion. You hear people talk about their religious beliefs in an AA meeting. I have my own opinion on that, and it is my opinion. I think about if someone mentions a particular religion, it may scare off someone who's not of that religion. And for people who are in that religion, if they came from an abusive area in that religion, it's going to scare them off as well. So that's why we talk about, we don't try and talk, we look to see where, the big book tells us to look to see where religious people are right, but we don't get into that controversy. And if we don't fight that amongst ourselves in here, We're sure as heck not going to fight it outside. There's a lot of things that happen in society in the name of religion, good and bad. Big Book talked about it at the beginning, and it's still going on. So we have to be real careful not to get caught in that controversy. Since Alcoholics Anonymous began, it has never been divided by a major controversial issue. Our fellowship never has taken sides publicly on any question in this embattled world. This has been no earned virtue. It could almost be said that we were born with it. For as old timer recently declared, practically never have I heard of a heated religious, political, or reform argument amongst AA members. So long as we don't argue these matters privately, it's a cinch we shall never argue them publicly. After a meeting, I'll hear lots of opinions about what people believe and what they don't believe. I don't get into that controversy outside. I do my best not to. I have my own opinions on what I believe is right and wrong. My steps have given me that right. But I don't step back from my own opinion. That was very hard for me to learn where the boundary is not to drag Alcoholics Anonymous into it. I can have my own opinion as long as I don't attach Alcoholics Anonymous' name to it. That was the hard part for me to learn. By the simple, deep instinct, we have known from the very beginning that no matter what the provocation, we must never publicly take sides as AAs in any fight, even a worthy one. All history affords us the spectacle of striving nations and groups finally torn apart because they were designed for or tempted into controversy. Others fell apart because of sheer self-righteousness, while trying to force upon the rest of mankind some millennium of their own specifications. In our own times, we have seen millions die in political and economic wars, often spurred by religious and radical differences. We live in intimate possibility of fresh holocaust to determine how men shall be governed and how the procedures of nature and turmoil shall be divided among them. That is the spiritual climate in which AA was born and by God's grace has flourished nevertheless. If you think about how we come in here, I don't think we come in here because we're politically right. I didn't get up one day to become a spiritual person and say, I'm going to Alcoholics Anonymous because I really feel good and I want to show those people how to live spiritually. I came in here because I was broken and I didn't know how to live. And you guys showed me how to live. You gave me some tools to start picking up as I went along the way. Both first through steps and then through traditions. First to learn how to live with myself and then how to play well with others. I didn't know how to play well with others. And that's what the tradition started doing for me. Maybe this sounds as though Alcoholics Anonymous has suddenly gone peaceable and has become a great, big, happy family. Of course, this is not true at all. We are human beings and we all squabble. Before we leveled off, at least on the surface, a corporation director who had just voted a company expenditure of $100,000 would appear at an AA business meeting and blow his top over an outlay of $25 for stamps. True stories. There's lots of true stories that are so rich in history that happens in Alcoholics Anonymous. One of the other stories that goes on, and we're gonna talk about, is the story of the movie Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous. Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous was a movie that was written way back in the early 30s. We didn't like it. We didn't know what to do about it. We were going to sue. We were going to get involved in it. They were going to change the name eventually. And what ended up happening is it didn't portray AA in pretty good light. And we concluded that we ought to ask for an injunction against the company for the misuse of the AA name. That was where we started. We came up with this grand idea that we were going to turn around and stop the movie from being made. That would be pretty controversial, and that would be definitely in the public eye, which would cause us to be looked at from the outside, which at that time we really didn't want. As much as we said we didn't want it, we was, you know, because we didn't want to get drawn into public controversy, as the Washingtonian did, and fall by the wayside, we were looking like it seemed like a good idea at the time. The prospect of legal action caused the company to reverse the script more to our liking. Otherwise, we might have sued, forgetting all about the principle of non-controversy in the public. We were excited because we won a battle there. So because of the moving picture incident, we decided that it would be a great idea. You know, we're alcoholics. We come up with these grandite schemes of things. It would be a great idea to ask for a congressional charter, very much like the Red Cross has. An act of Congress would protect AA name everywhere. This would put us in the same class as the Red Cross and several other notable organizations. It was thought that the mere existence of such a charter would restrain nearly all of those who might be tempted to misuse AA's name and legally bludgeon us with the weight that could easily be used to any that might defy us by law. It looked like a grand idea, and the headquarters were all for it. Now, we went to a conference with this in mind, to go and try and legalize it. There's a guy by the name of Bob T, back in the early days, and at the conference, they asked him to put a committee together, and he was a Mississippi lawyer, and the report of the committee came out of the committee with a bunch of points that came out of it, which were really interesting. We don't see this in much of the literature. It's in AA Comes of Age. It's in Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. And the committee was trying to actually make a charter. We were going to get a charter and to be through Congress so we can keep certain things and people wouldn't misuse the AA name. And his committee came back to the conference, and this is what was approved by the conference. The evils which caused the question arise are largely abated, which was the thing with the movies, is what started that. A congressional incorporation would create a power to govern, which would be contrary and violate of our traditions. Three, it would implement the spiritual force of AA with a legal power, which we believe would tend to weaken its spiritual strength. Four, would ask that for legal rights enforceable in the courts of law, by which the same subject ourselves to possible legal retaliation. Five, we might well become endlessly entangled in litigation, which, together with the incidental expense and publicity, can seriously threaten our own existence. Six, incorporation of AA could conceivably become the opening wedge that might endanger politics and struggle for power within our own ranks. Seven, continuously since its beginning and today, AA has been a fellowship and not an organization. Incorporation necessarily makes it an organization. Eight, we believe that spiritual faith and a way of life cannot be incorporated. I think that's the most important one. And nine, AA can and will survive so long as it remains a spiritual faith and a way of life open to all men and women who suffer from alcoholism. Therefore, keeping in mind the high purpose of the General Service Conference as expressed by the chairman last year, we said we seek no compromise, but certainly your committee unanimously recommends that Alcoholics Anonymous does not incorporate. Good example of one of the things when I came here in 1994, the front cover of the big book used to have a triangle and a circle. The end of 1993, right before I got here, that copyright ran out. There was a whole lot of controversy whether we should go to court and fight for that. And Gene's in the room, he's kind of chuckling because he was around when that happened. And I remember that real well. Because most of the books in the United States, all the books in the United States, don't have the triangle and the circle anymore. But if you go to the books around the rest of the world, they still carry the circle and triangle. They kept their copyrights. We didn't. And it was a big controversy whether we should go and pursue that. Well, if we stay in line with the 10th tradition, which would make this an outside controversy, by bringing it to the public eye, and if you notice today, you'll see lots of cards with circles and triangles on them. That would be a copyright infringement at one time, and we could never enforce that, not without getting into public controversy. So we decided just to leave it alone and let it just pass. And that's one of those things, by letting it pass, we keep our spiritual identity, and we keep our spiritual simplicity. Now, that is the application of the 10th tradition. It's one of the toughest traditions to deal with, because what it says is really live and let live, and we really have no opinion on what others do. We do have an opinion on what we do within ourselves and how we carry ourselves and how we relate to the outside world. With that, I'm going to be quiet. Thanks.